सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ So last week we saw the idea of the Divya Chakshu or divine eyes. It is not a physical eye as such, but it is an understanding. It is a vision. There can be many types of vision. Like we have what we call as Jnana Chakshu. Shiva's third eye, Jnana Chakshu. That is viveka or discrimination. And that is at the level of the intellect. Example is, even though the eyes are seeing the sky as blue, the intellect knows that it is not blue. There is no sky. Or if the eyes are seeing the sun rising, sort of, and sun setting, but the intellect knows that it is neither. So that is the Jnana Chakshu. That is one type of vision. The other type of vision is Bhavana Drishti. Bhavana Drishti is a deliberate superimposition where the eyes are looking at a black stone, but the understanding is this is Lord Shiva. Or the eyes are looking at a Shaligram, and the understanding is this is Vishnu. So that is a Bhavana Drishti. That is also another vision. That also is Chakshu only. Not all vision have to be objective. Okay, when we say vision, then what comes to our mind is the eyes, and then what the eyes are seeing as an object. It doesn't have to be like that. That is what we are talking. And then, of course, the last is this Divya Chakshu, the divine vision or the divine eyes, which is an understanding which is opposed to what we are fixated in. Right now, I'm fixated in I'm established in, I'm the body, mind, intellect. The world is real. There is happiness in the world. I want to go after happiness, and getting objects will give me happiness. I am only in this body. I am inside the body. It's not. The body is in me. The world is not real. The happiness is not in the world. All this understanding is what constitutes divine eyes. It's a vision. It's an understanding. Okay. This was the most important verse in this chapter, basically, with a huge lot of philosophy. After this, the verses are going to fly by because it is basically what is the understanding of Arjun. Of course, for even I, when I heard this before, and even this, what happens is, we have a vision of a form in front of us because Virat Roop is there. But the way we should understand is that, don't think that Arjun is maybe actually seeing the form, but he's understanding. What is his understanding? See, the teacher is giving us knowledge. But then what our understanding is, there are two different things. There's a knowledge that is being given, and what I'm understanding is something different. Okay. So what is now going to come is Arjuna's understanding of what Bhagwan is showing him. And because it's in Arjuna's words, it's not Bhagwan's words. Bhagwan has said, spoken, I will give you the divine eyes and you will be able to see. Now what understanding arose in Arjuna's mind is what we will be seeing, because we are not now. Bhagwan is not saying, this is what I'm showing you. It is not like that. It is what Arjun is saying. So it begins, of course, like last time we saw these verses by Sanjay. And I already told you, Sanjay is all in on side of the Pandavas. He's a fan of Lord Krishna. He is not in agreement with the Kauravas, but nevertheless, he has to serve Dhritarashtra. So when he talks about Krishna, Lord Krishna, then all the superlatives are used. So he has eva muktva tataha. So we have seen these, but a quick revision. Having said all this, so all the verses that Bhagwan said, that is what is being referred to in eva muktva. Having said, this is referring to Bhagwan Krishna. Rajan, so Rajan is Dhritarashtra. O Rajan, O King, having said all this, Mahayogeshwara Harihi. Mahayogeshwara, I told you, Yogeshwar, the one who is in control of the yoga. Mahayogeshwar is one who is in control of all the yogins as well. Harihi, Harati iti Hari. So, Harati is to take away. So, one who takes away our ignorance, or also one who attracts our attention, means he's taking away the attention from the outside world towards him. So, Hari. Darshayamas Pardhaya Param Rupam Aishwaram. Now he is going to show, he showed actually his Param Supreme, beyond which there is nothing else, Rupam Aishwaram, his form, which is the Aishwarya. By Aishwarya, Vibhuti. So Sanjay is seeing the Vibhuti part of it, right? I told you, he's going to show yoga as well as Aishwarya. He's going to, yoga means the oneness, the absence. And then Aishwarya is the presence of the multitude, the multiplicity. So both are going to be now seen, or rather experienced by Arjun at the same time. Because previous chapters, first it was yoga explained, then Aishwarya explained. So here he's saying this Rupam Aishwaryam, he's going to show his divine form. Okay, because divine, I told you, divine means that which is not dependent on anything else. So Param is supreme divine. And then he goes on to say, Aneka Vakra Nayanam, Anekam Adbhuta Darshanam. So lots of eyes and lots of mouths and lots, Aneka, multitude. But these should be understood as Arjuna understanding is there are lots of mouths and hands and legs and etc. But there is only one behind it. Okay, the one behind all these multiple looking. Aneka Divya Abharanam. Divya divine. I told you those ornaments which never fade. You know, sometimes some people, it happens, gold, they wear, the gold fades, if you have seen. Or some people who wear corals, they say the one who has very lot of anger, the corals start, the coral just disappears. It reduces, and it disappears. I have seen that. Like there's a necklace of corals, and then this person, whoever's wearing it, they say those who have anger, those who have got anger issues should wear corals. When they wear corals on their body, the corals will not disintegrate, but in Marathi we say jista, you know, means it'll go on wearing off. You can try that. Those corals will go on wearing off, and all of that remains is the gold chain. Because that anger, it is absorbing the anger. Corals is good for anger management. So anyway, Divya. So nothing like that happens with the Divya Abhrana, because this is God's, the Lord's, this thing. Divya Aneka Aneka Yudham. So all the weapons, right? Uplifted, etc. Divine weapons. Yeah, so he has his divine weapons. All of that he saw. Divya Malayambharam, Divya Gandhanu Lepanam. So everything about that form is Divya, is divine. And Sarvashchar Ascharyamaya Devam Anantam Vishwatomukham. So Vishwatomukha is face. So Vishwato means entire world. The faces are all around. For us, we face one side, only one side we can see. But this is all around, right? Because it is a divine form. So the Lord is all knowing. So how, that's why it's a poetic way of saying that he knows what is going behind him, he knows what is going on the side, on top of him, everything, because he's all pervading. Then an example is given Divi Surya Sahasrasya. So imagine the light of 1,000 suns, and this form is even brighter than that. The idea here, the subjective idea here is that, see, there is sun, the luminaries, you know, which are the sun, the moon. I told you, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. So there are these five luminaries, five sources of light: sun, moon, fire, stars, and then lightning. These are the five sources of light from where we get light. But to validate the sun or the lightning or all these sources, we need netra jyoti. We need our eyes, and behind this netra jyoti, we need the jyoti of jyotis, which is the consciousness. So that's why it is called jyoti of jyoti. Jyoti is that which does not require any other source to see. So we do not require a flashlight to see the sun or a candle to see the sun, because the sun is self-illuminating. All right. But this consciousness is the one that is aware of itself on its own. It does not require anything else. Do I know anybody else to tell me that I'm existing? I am. I know that, right? So that is the idea of this. This verse is to be understood like that. Like suddenly what happens is when we say, oh, so how bright must be the 1,000 suns, and then this is brighter than that. That is just a way of saying, but what is being said is that this is more powerful in that, because those 1,000 suns require a conscious principle to validate them. And that is what is this divine form. So I think we had come to up to there. And now we start with verse 13. Tatraikastham jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekadha appashya deva devasya sharire pandavastada. There, in the body of the god of gods, Pandava, son of Pandu, then saw the whole universe resting in one with its many groups. Okay, so in that Virata Rupa now, the multitude is being seen. This is what Sanjay is now saying. All right. So basically that the whole universe, this Rupa was shown by Bhagwan as a baby to Yashoda. If you remember the incident in Bhagavad Puran, where he eats mud and then Ma Yashoda says, open your mouth. And then he opens his mouth and the whole universe is, and she faints. She doesn't understand what it is. But that's the same idea. What he showed his mother in his childhood, he's now showing Arjuna. Okay. So he says all this multitude now he's seeing. Because remember that Sanjay also is seeing it, huh? Sanjay has been given divine eyes by Veda Vyasji. So he's seeing, he saw the war and everything happen. Na? So he's seeing this also. Then what happened? He saw all this thing. Then what happened? Tata savismaya vishtaha rishtaroma dhananjayaha pranamya shirasa devam kritanjalira bhashata. Then he, Dhananjaya, Arjuna, filled with wonder, with his hair standing on end, bowed down his head to the god and spoke with joined palms. So this word is there, vismaya, avishtha. Avishtha is, you know, avishtha word had come in chapter 2. Avishtha means overcome. You know, when you stunned, you become stunned with certain things, okay? So vismaya is the meaning of the word, just maya is smile. But vismaya, vigata smile means no smile, means what? When you're stunned, you don't smile. See, when you're calm and quiet, you can smile. You see something nice, you smile. But vismaya means, you know, like, that is not a smile. That's like, oh God, what is this kind of thing? So he's stunned. That's what he's saying. Avishta, he was overpowered. Like he was totally stunned. Rishtaroma Dhananjaya. Rishtaroma is hair on end, means horripilation. You know, so when we get excited, then our hair stands on edge, it is called. Na? That is Rishtaroma. Dhananjaya, I told you, one of the names of Arjuna, because he was the one who had collected the maximum wealth for the Pandavas when they were ruling. Because he and Bhima generally went to war. The younger brothers were not sent. The oldest brother was the king. He couldn't go himself. Like they would never send him. So these two brothers went, and then Arjuna was the one who had never lost a war. So this is Pranamya Shirasa. You know, when you're that, it's like when you see something huge, you know, like I remember having this sort of feeling when I saw even Niagara Falls for the first time, many, many years ago when we first came, and then first, it was like, you know, then I went to Iguazu Falls in Argentina and I thought, oh, okay, Niagara is nothing. Iguazu is like, kind of thing, you know. So when you see something big, major, beautiful, beautiful rainbow, maybe. Sometimes you see multiple rainbows also, I've seen. So, you know, that sort of thing. Now, this is seeing the divine form. There is nothing more greater than this form. Imagine. After Niagara, I saw Iguazu. Then somebody said, no, but Victoria is even bigger. You know, Victoria Falls in Africa, I have not seen. So, maybe that will be even more stunning. But this is the most stunning form, and therefore he's humbled. Arjuna, seeing this huge, you know, like, he's totally humbled. So therefore he joins his hands, and very humbly now Arjuna starts saying what he is experiencing. I'm not going to say what he's seeing. I'm going to say what he's experiencing. So that is the understanding that is being told, which is happening in his mind. That's why what is happening in his mind, it cannot be Sanjay Vacha. Sanjay is physically seeing, but what is happening inside of Arjuna's mind, how Sanjay can see. So that's why it is Sanjay Vacha in between, and now it starts with Arjuna Vacha. Okay, so now we go to Arjuna Vacha. The meter changes here to indicate the emotion of being stunned. That's why the meter is now different. Arjuna Vacha Pashyami Pashyami Devanstava Deva Dehe Sarvanstata Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham Rishincha Sarvanuragansha Divyan. Arjuna said, I see all the gods, O God, in your body. So he is now referring to Bhagavan Shri Krishna, to the form in front of him. In your body, and also hosts of various classes of beings, Brahma, the Lord, seated on the lotus, all the rishis and celestial serpents. Now the following verses, the way they are going to go, is that the first few verses are going to tell us about Devarupa. Devarupa means a very mild form. A mild form of, you know, he's seeing Brahmaji. So there's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be, you know, like he's already stunned, but it's not like, oh, you know, what is this kind of, not like that. So because he's seeing all these forms, and then the next set of verses is going to, he's going to describe the Ugra Rupa. So it's becoming a bit more scary. And then there is going to be Ati Ugra Rupa, where he gets really scared and he says, Bhagwan, now you please come back to your original form because now I'm scared. So these three type of descriptions are now going to come, and then we will see at the end what is the significance, Vedantic significance of all three together. We are starting with this Devarupa, huh? So that's why he says, I see all the gods. So he's seeing Brahmaji, he's seeing, you know, the Gandharva, the Kinnaras, the Indra, Varuna, all these devas he's seeing. And hosts of various classes of beings. So Brahmaji, that's why I said, Lord, on the Lord, all the rishis, celestial, so that there is the Naga, you know, all the Nagas and the serpents and all that. Okay? So nothing to be afraid of. He has probably heard about all these. We have heard, you know, Brahmaji is there sitting on the lotus and coming out of the navel. And then he has seen all that, and now he's actually experiencing it. Fine. Now. Aneka Bahudara Vakra Netram Pashami Twam Sarvaton Tantarupam Nantam Namadhyam Napunastavadim Pashami Vishweshwara Vishwarupa. I see thee of boundless form on every side, with manifold arms, stomachs, mouths, and eyes. Neither the end, nor the middle, nor also the beginning do I see, O Lord of the universe, O cosmic form. Okay, so again, I told you, manifold arms, manifold stomachs means, now what he's experiences, he's seeing the multiplicity, but he's also seeing that one behind that multiplicity. This is his experience, I told you. This is what in his mind, this is what the knowledge that is arising in his mind. Knowledge always comes in the mind. Knowledge is not coming in the eyes, okay? Even though he's seeing this thing, this is what his understanding is, that I am seeing many, many multitudes, hordes of stomachs, hordes of mouths, hordes of hands, legs, everything, more. But I know that there is only one you behind all of this. I do not see the beginning, the middle, and the Bhagwan himself had said that in chapter 10, that I am only in the beginning, I am only in the middle, and I am only in the end. Now Arjun is experiencing it. There Bhagwan just said it and Arjun heard it. Now he's experiencing. See, this is what we say about, we hear the knowledge and we churn it and then make it our own. And then it has to be our own experience. It has to become. Gurus have told us, Bhagwan Shankaracharya have told us, Tattvamasi, Vedas have told us, Tattvamasi. This is all we have heard. But now that experience is coming to him. He has also heard that. He also heard, Bhagwan said already, there's no middle, end, everything. Arjun, you don't have to think. Chapter 10, he said, you know, whatever you see, beginning I am, middle I am, end I am only there. So that, now the experience is coming. Therefore, now he's, because I told you, he is now relating his own experience. Okay, so he's seeing it like this. Now, kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam pashyami twam durniriksham samantat diptanalar kadyuti aprameyam. I see thee with crown, club and discus, a mass of radiance shining everywhere, very hard to look at, all round blazing like burning fire and sun and incomprehensible. Now, I see thee with crown, club and discus means what is he seeing? He's seeing a form. See, Dave, when he saw the Dave, he saw the form. Now, when he said this is Brahmaji, that means he saw the form. So he's still seeing the form, okay? Even in the... this, there is that one form with many, many hands and legs. And now he says, I see the crown. I see you holding the weapons. That means what? Form is there. Na? If he sees a weapon, that weapon has a form. The crown has a form. So he's seeing the form. Because next he's going to see formless. And then he's going to see beyond that. This is how this these verses are going. So here, and it's the cosmic form, are all around blazing like burning fire and sun. To know that this fire, the sun and the fire and everything is controlled by the supreme reality. Okay, they are all under your control. I'm seeing that. Other generally, fire means that fire is burning the person who is on fire. But if he's seeing that, then he knows that the fire is under his control. We saw that in Kinopanishad, I told you, even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Lord. All right, so this is the cosmic form. We have seen this in Purusha Suktam. Those who chant Purusha Suktam, that is the cosmic form that is being seen. Now he's going beyond form. Next one. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusho matome. In my opinion, matome. You are the imperishable. Now he is understanding this. Okay? The supreme being worthy to be known. Veditavyam. Veditavyam word used in Upanishads also, that this is the only thing that is worthy of knowing. We are constantly going after all these imperishable things. This is the only thing worthy of knowing. You are the great treasure house of this universe. You are the imperishable protector of the eternal Dharma. In my opinion, you are the ancient Purusha. See now his understanding, how he understood it. So he saw that multiplicity. At the same time, he saw that one. Now he's going beyond. He saw the crown and he saw the discus and the this and that and Brahmaji and this god and that god and all the forms he saw. And then he says, but you know, in my opinion, you are that imperishable one behind all these forms. You are that formless behind this form. Therefore, tvam aksharam paramam vedit. You are that akshara purusha, which he will again talk about in 15, but you are that imperishable, which in chapter 7 he had already said. There is para, apara, and then there is the highest. So I understand now that I have that realization that you are that. I had heard it, chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 10. I heard all this multiplicity thing. Now I know. Now I understand. Okay. Paramam Veditavyam. And so you are that supreme knowledge that is Veditavyam is worthy of knowing. Veditavyam word is coming from with dhatu. With is to know. Dhatu means to know. So Veditavyam means what is worthy of knowing. What is it? He says, I know divine. I told you the significance of supreme. There's nothing beyond it. Second is it is divine. So it is not dependent on anything. That's how it becomes supreme. Because we say supreme court or we say the highest authority in the country, right? That means beyond that, there is no appeal. You go in the small claims court or the high court or the smaller courts, then they're not supreme because there is an appeal authority. And that's why this paramam, this supreme imperishable nature of yours, which now, in my opinion, that is what you really are, not these forms. that is worthy of knowing. Tvamasya Vishwasya Param Nidhanam. You are the supreme abode of all the beings. That is why, that's what Gurudev, you know, Hari Om, you say Hari Home. Our home is actually there. And we need to go back. I mean, those who have been with Gurudev will know that. He say Hari Om is that Hari Home, H-U-R-R-Y-H-O-M-E. Come back to me. This is what Bhagwan is saying. Gurudev is saying, come back to me. You have strayed away. So he says, now I've come to know that this entire world, you are only that abode, final abode, where from beyond that means there is nothing beyond that. And it is a point of no return. Param both. Like you reach that, you do not come back. And there is nothing to be reached after that. That's why it is said, having known that, there remains nothing else to be known. Okay. Param Nidhanam. Tvam avyayaha. So you are indestructible. Avyaya, I told you, vyaya can happen. Chapter 2, this word has come many times. If there are parts, then one part can be destroyed. That's why the body, you know, body has parts. Sometimes, God forbid, there is amputation for diabetic patients, etc. So part can be cut. Or there can be loss, like by a paralysis, you know, so the body seems very normal, but then one side is not able to function. So that also is a loss. So that is also vyaya is happening. Then of course, there is a total destruction also, means where the body dies, right? That also is there. So when it is said avyaya, the reason is because he's without parts. So which part can cut off? Like space, can you cut? You can't even cut space. You can't even cut air. You cannot even cut water. What we do is we create boundaries which are artificial. And then we say this is kitchen space and living room space and dining room space. The minute you break the walls down, the space is all one. So that's why space is avyaya. If you go for the technical explanation, this supreme reality is even subtler than space. If you can't even touch space, how you will touch the supreme reality? You can't. So avyaya, that's what he said. Now he is understanding it. Shashwat Dharma Gopta. So you are the protector of the eternal dharma. In chapter 4, Bhagwan said that. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Right? He had told Arjun that whenever this dharma is in recession, it falls, I come to restore it. Says, yes, I realize now that is what you are. In my opinion, and you are the ancient Purusha. He had said that Purusham Avyayam and all that. Bhagwan had said that. All that Bhagwan has already said. Now Arjuna is understanding it. Okay, so that's why, in my opinion, he says, in my opinion, I think that is what you are. You are not all these forms and all that thing. All right, then moreover, now he's going. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam ananta bahum shashi surya netram pashyami twam dipta hutashavakram swatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. I see you without beginning, middle or end. Now he's starting the description of the formless. Because if you do not, in a form, what is the meaning of a form? Means this form, now this screen is there, you know, it starts here and then it ends here. It starts and then it goes, height goes up to here. So that is what form is. If I don't see where it is beginning and where it is ending, that means it becomes formless. And that is what he's saying here now. I see you without beginning, middle or end, infinite in power. Ananta viryam. Viryam is prowess. So your power is infinite, because you know he's now, because see, as we go further, he will see the end of the war also. That is the specialty of this vision, that he sees their own victory, he sees the deaths of everybody. All the description will come. That's when he gets scared, because then that is that Ati Ugra Rupa that he's seeing. So he says that I realize I can see your infinite power. You're controlling, and your eyes are only sun and moon. This description is in Purush Sukta also, right? One meaning is that for the sun is the deity of the eyes. So all the deities are also under your control. Sun and moon. Shashi Surya Netram. Your eyes. One is moon. One is sun. Pashami Twam Vipta Hutashavakram. Middle or end. Infinite in power of endless arms. Ananta Baum. Ananta, no end. Anta is end. Ananta, when you put the prefix, no end. So that's why it's formless. Because if there was an end to the arm, then that arm is a form. So he sees the beginning and the end. But now he's saying it's ananta. So now his understanding is changing into from the form to the formless. Okay, that's how. The sun and the moon being your eyes, the burning fire your mouth. That's why fire is the deity of the speech, right? If you go to Tattva Bodh, the deity of speech is fire. We say fiery speech. Speech, see, fire, the subjective significance of that, fire is something which destroys, na? Anything which comes in contact with fire gets destroyed. So the speech, tongue, is a very dangerous instrument that we have. Because we can speak and we can cut relations. We can hurt somebody. There can be a lot of problems because of speaking. That's why they say more than what to speak, what to speak and not what to speak, we should know when to speak and when not to speak is more important than what is to be spoken and what is not to be said. When you are not called upon to speak, it is better to keep quiet. Because it can do a lot of damage. And that's why that fiery speech is there. And also it's eating. We eat because we are bored. Overeating is happening. So that's why they say among the senses, this tongue is the most important and very difficult to control. Because you have to control it on two fronts. One is it does the talking and one it does the eating, tasting. So it wants to taste all these things and it wants to talk nonsense. All about the extroverted thing. Therefore, both controls are required. Therefore, it is the most difficult sense organ to control. It is the tongue, right? Eyes, you can close your eyes, you can close your ears, you know, but speech becomes very difficult. Heating the whole universe with your radiance. Swatejasa Vishwamidam Tapanam. Swatejasa is the idea is jyoti of jyoti. It means it is his own brilliance. It is his own illumination. See, we look at the sun, we think, oh, sun is so brilliant. But remember that sun does not have its own brilliance. The brilliance of the sun is because of the supreme reality. That's why in chapter 15, he will say that the light behind the sun is my light. It's me. Why? Because it needs a conscious being to validate it. Huh? Understand that. But for him, for me, if I walk into a dark, very dark room, I don't need anything else to tell me that I'm there. So I am Swatejasa. I means I as the supreme reality. That's why, you know, all these also you can meditate also. So you should not think that, oh, there is that Bhagwan who is Swatejasa. No, I am Swatejasa. I myself am. Not from the ego point of view, but from the supreme reality point of view. Vishwamidam tapantam. So the whole universe I see is this thing. So now he's seeing all this. All right, formless. Then, Vyava prithivyoridamantaram hi vyaptam twayaikena dishascha sarvaha drishtvadabhutam rupamugram tavedam lokatrayam pravyatitham mahatmana. This space between earth and the heavens and all the quarters are filled by you alone, the all-pervading nature of Bhagwan. Having seen this, your wonderful and terrible form starts the Ugra Rupa. Huh? The three worlds are trembling with fear. Okay. Oh, great souled being. So here starts now the description of the Ugra Rupa. So far it was Devas and the mild. So the form was there, formless was there. It was okay. Now he's seeing that all this is happening simultaneously. See, seeing, when it is a physical seeing, it will happen one at a time. So if I'm looking at the computer, then okay, right now I'm seeing at the computer. Then when I turn, then I'm right now I'm looking at the watch, or right now I'm looking at the door. But when the understanding is happening, it can happen simultaneously, right? In my mind, understanding, here's the computer, here's the watch, here's the door. That is happening simultaneously. Please understand. So that's why this, it is called vision and it is called eyes, just... But don't imagine it as a physical seeing. Imagine it, know it as an understanding. It is a subjective understanding of an objective vision. You get it? This is all like imagine the all happening. See, the whole Bhagavad Gita only happened in 3 hours. Entire Bhagavad Gita was told in 3 hours. Now, in 3 hours, how much time would have been allotted to chapter? You know, there was no chapters, but I'm just telling you. So all this whole 55 verses in this chapter, it is not taken like it is taking us hours to explain, but understanding immediately is happening. So there's not much of a time lapse there. All right. So that's why now he understands, he sees, or he understands, better word, that and in Purushottam we have seen this, your head is the heavens and your feet are in the earth, right? So the all pervading nature of the Lord now he's seeing. And when we say all pervading, again it's formless, because if there was a form, it cannot be all pervading. No form can be all pervading. All right. Heavens and all the quarters, all the directions, so everywhere you are there. Your wonderful and terrible form, the three worlds, so heaven, earth, and hell, are trembling with fear. So he's also now going into this fear, you know, because now this Rupa is going to become more, this understanding, now he's understanding more and more. Ugra, ugra, ugra means terrible, 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 this thing, okay? Ami hitvam sura sangha vishanti kechid bhita pranjala yogrananti swastityuktva maharshi siddha sanghaha stuvanti tvam stuti bhi pushkala bihi. Verily, into you enter these hosts of devas. Some extol you in fear with joined palms. May it be well, thus saying, bands of great rishis and siddhas praise you with hymns sublime. So now he's seeing all these people who are, I think I've told you this, it's a respectful fear. See, in Taittiriya Upanishad describes that out of fear the wind blows, out of fear the sun rises, out of fear the fire burns. And out of fear of whom? Out of fear of the Supreme Being. Okay, the ancient Purusha. Now, out of fear means what? Is it all fearful? But see, fear is, there can be a respectful fear. And respectful fear means, you know, I was like, if we are driving on the road and it's suppose in the middle of the night we are driving, there's no traffic. And then there is a red light, you know. So actually it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. There is, you know, absolutely nobody around. If I go through the red light, you know, like no harm done, there's no traffic, but still I stop, right? At least those who have that respectful fear of the law will stop. That's how people just drive, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, right? That is what is known as this, not that you're afraid and then you do it, not that you're off, but you have a respect for, like, you know, we as seekers, we would not do anything which, you know, Gurudev has said for us not to do. So most of us, right? And Gurudev is not even there, or even our guru is not even there to see if we do something wrong, how will he know? We might say, but yet we will not do. And that is that respectful fear. Even though the person is not there, for our elders, grandparents, we won't do. So that's what that is. So this one, what he's now seeing is that all these you know, there are suras and asuras. So the denizens of the heavens and all the maharshis, the rishis, and all these ones are singing your praises. Not like they've been blackmailed to sing the praise of the Lord, but they want to sing the praise of the Lord because they know the greatness of the Lord. You know, there's one thing, you can praise somebody by truly knowing the greatness. And then, so this is like, they truly know the greatness. And so he says, he's understanding, he's seeing that all these people are singing your praises because they know your divine nature. Okay, so this is Stuti Bhi Pushkalabhi. Now he goes on to say, Rudraditya Vasavo Yecha Sadhyaha Vishveshvinau Marutach Choshma Pascha Gandharva Yaksha Sura Siddha Sanghaha Vikshante Tvam Vismitashchai Chaiva Sarve, the Rudras, Adityas, all these names we have heard before in chapter 10. The Rudras, Adityas, Vasus, Sadhyas, Vishwadevas, the two Ashwins, Maruts, Ushmapas, and hosts of Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, and Siddhas, they are all looking at you, all quite astonished. Okay? Because now they are also seeing this divine form that Arjuna already was stunned. So they are also, so he's seeing all this together. Rudra, we know there are 11 Rudras, there are 12 Adityas, the 8 Vasus, Sadhyas. These are all deities of the other worlds. Okay? Not like we would see a Rudra. We can see the Rudravata. You know, we don't see Rudra actually. But when a person gets really angry, we say Rudravatar he's showing. So he's taken that form of Rudra. That's how it is. Or Ashwini Kumar. Ashwini Kumars are the medical doctors, right? They are the doctors of the gods. So if somebody is healing or there is a nurse or a doctor, then that we see the form of Ashwini in that. Ashwini Kumar in that. That way this is to be understood. Because like that, we'll never see the 11 Dhruva. Where are they? Physically, too, we cannot see. But the scriptures say that they are there. So we have this faith. And so now Arjun is actually seeing them in this form. The Maruts, the Ushmapas also are the children of the third wife of Rishi Kashyap. I told you Rishi Kashyap had Diti and Aditi. Then he also had a third wife and these are his children. This is a host of Gandharvas are the kind of the band of the heavens, musical band. They are the musicians and the dancers. Yakshas, Asuras are also there. Sura is there. Asura is there. The children of Aditi. Aditi's children are Asuras and Diti's children are Daityas, Suras, so that way. Siddhas are one who is accomplished. They are the Siddhas. So all these people now Arjun is seeing, okay, in that form. From verse 15 to 18, we saw the Devarupa. I told you there was the Devarupa. Then there was the Ugra Rupa. From 23 onwards now is starting the Ati Ugra Rupa. From this 23 onwards to 30 will be the Ati Ugra Rupa. So I told you that we will see the significance of it. So what it is basically, these are sort of the stages, our own stages of a seeker. Okay. The first stage means even pre-KG kind of is the stage where the person does not know anything about God and there is no seeking, there is no desire to seek because there is no knowledge of any kind of philosophy. Okay, then the person evolves to understand that there is a God, and then you know the God is very compassionate and kind, and I can pray to him, and I can ask him for things, and if I'm good, he will give me things. So that is the Devarupa, which is all sweet, 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 sweet. As the seeker progresses, things happen, calamities come in his life. Okay, calamities or sorrows or difficult situations come in our life. The purpose of those situations is to draw our attention to the Supreme Reality. That is the Ugra Roop. Now Bhagwan shows the Ugra Roop to the seeker. That's where, you know, first it was all sweet, sweet, sweet. But now something is going wrong. And if that seeker is on the right track with his mind, then he realizes that this has come to me so that I get even more closer to God. So far, everything was going good, good, good. Something is going wrong. Then finally, Bhagwan might show his Ati Ugra Rupa, which is the final thing, which if works correctly, will cut us off from the world completely. We will completely go there. This is how it goes. Okay? Atyanta Ugra. We like Narsimha Avatar. Finally, what happened? He, you know, Prahlad's father was Hiranyakashipu was, you know, the whole story we know. Ultimately, what Prahlad said, okay, this is it. Bhagwan said, and then Narsimha. So that is that Ati Ugra, where everybody was even Lakshmi Devi was, because apparently after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he was like breathing fire, and he was so gross, so that everybody got so scared, they wanted to calm him down, and they requested Lakshmi Devi to come and she said, no, I'm too scared, I'm not going to say anything. And then Prahlad is the one that's, you know, sang the hymns and cooled him down, and then he said, ask for a boon. He said, please let my father not go to hell. That is the boon that he asked at that time. Like, he has done wrong, I know that. But, and then Bhagwan says, you know, you are such a great devotee that none of your, you know, previous generations and further generations can go to hell. They will come to me ultimately just because of your, the power of your devotion. So this is how this thing. So now 23rd onwards, we go into the Ugra Rupa, where ultimately then Arjun just totally surrenders and says, okay, now enough is enough. Rupam mahatte bahuvakranetram mahabaho bahubahurupadam bahudaram bahudrashtrankaralam drishtvaloka pravatithastathaham. Having seen your immeasurable form with many mouths and eyes, O mighty armed with many arms, thighs and feet, with many stomachs and fearful with tusks, the world are terrified, and so too am I. Now he's saying that now I'm getting really scared. First it was okay. Devarup was all sweet, sweet, sweet. Ugra Rup, okay, I can handle this. Now he says, now I can't. Okay, this is how now the Ati Ugra Rup is being shown. And this is how Arjun is understanding it. Nabhasprasham diptamanekavarnam vyattananam dipta vishalanetram drishtvahitvam pravatithantaratma dhritim navindami shamam cha vishnu. Now he prays, he begs. On seeing you, your form touching the sky, flaming in many colors, with mouths wide open, with large fiery eyes, I am terrified at heart and find neither courage nor peace, O Vishnu. So now he's really scared, really, really scared. There's not much of an explanation, but we have seen all this, you know, the form, which is, he already said that, now the heaven and the earth, and so this huge, huge thing. And now he's going into more description of this Ati Ugra Rupa, why he's so scared. He says, I don't have the courage to look at it. And you know, when you're agitated in your mind, right? So you're not at peace. So you can't, even if you want to enjoy something, you need, your mind has to be at peace. And now this is, so there's so much fear that you can't see, because out of fear, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to see this. And so it's like, now I'm totally scared. This is what now is happening. Now he's praying. Drishtrankaralani chate mukhani drishtvaiva kalanala sannibhani disho na jane na labhe cha sharma prasida devesha jagannivasaha. Having seen your mouths fearful with tusks blazing like pralaya fires, I know not the four quarters, nor do I find peace. Be gracious, O Lord of the Devas, O home of the universe. Be gracious means, I'm scared. Now, please come out of this form. This is what now, this is where it is going. Okay, because now I can't. Because now there'll be even, there's more description. So, this is, everything is like Narsimha Avatar. Imagine now, like this is 100 or 1,000 times more Ugra than what Narsimha Avatar was after killing. After killing, when he was breathing like ha-ha, you know, and huge form. So imagine, like if we have to imagine, we can only imagine. So that this is how. Now, Ami chatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha sarve sahai bhava nipala sanghaihi bhishmo drona suta putras tathasau sahasma diyairapi yodha mukhaihi. All the sons of Dhritarashtra. See, he's seeing the end of the war now. With hosts of kings of the earth, Bhishma, Drona, and the son of a charioteer, Sutaputra Karna, referring to Karna, with the warrior chieftains of ours. So all the names are now being given. Why? Because they were standing on the battlefield and now he's going to see their death. In the form, he's going to see all of these died, no? In the end, they all died, right? Not Dhritarashtra. But no, it's not Dhritarashtra. It's the sons of Dhritarashtra. So all the 100 Kauravas were killed in the war. Vakrani te twaramana vishanti drishrankaralani bhayanakani kechid vilagnada shatantareshu sandrishyante churnite ruttamangaihi. Into your mouths with terrible teeth and fearful to behold, they precipitately enter. So they are entering. The Lord means what? They're dying. We are going back home means we are dying now. Some are found sticking in the, imagine how horrible this must be. Huh? Some are found sticking in the gaps between the teeth with their heads crushed to powder. That's why it is Ati Ugra Rupa. Because don't think of our teeth, because nothing our teeth can hold. This is like, good Lord, I can't have like each teeth like a mountain of Himalaya or Rocky Mountains, one tooth, you know, if it is that big, that two, then in between, of course, we'll get crushed. That is what is happening. That's why he's getting more and more scared. This, I told you this also, the importance of this vision is that he sees the end of the war. Each one entering and getting crushed like powder is what they're dying now. That means they're going to die, you know, in the end. Okay. Now he gives an example of how they are entering into the mouth. Yatha nadinam bahavom buvegaha samudrameva bhimukha dravanti tatha tavami naraloka viraha vishanti vakranya vishanti vakranya bhivijvalanti. Verily, as many torrents of rivers flow towards the ocean, so these heroes in the world of men enter your flaming mouth. So he gives an example. You know how the river gushes into the ocean, right? Comes down the mountain and then it is flowing. All the tributaries come and join it. So the river becomes more and more and more powerful as wider, more and more volume of water, because, you know, little rivulets, little rivers are now coming and joining it, and then it gushes into the ocean, like the Ganges going into the Bay of Bengal or the Fraser River going into the Pacific Ocean, where it enters, it is. So that way, with that kind of force, all these people are entering your mouth, means they are dying one by one. Okay. And then why and how do they enter? So another example. Yatha pradiptam jwalanam patangaha vishanti nashaya samriddha vegaha tathaiva nashaya vishanti lokaha tavapi vakrani samriddha vegaha. As mouths hurriedly rush into a blazing fire for their own destruction. Example. In the river example, the river gets, we cannot say it gets destroyed. It merges to become the ocean. So it's not, you can't really call it as destruction. It is reaching its destination. Whereas the moth is dying, is getting destroyed. That is the only difference. But it's the same, like how the moths, they get attracted to that fire and then they go into it, right? The flame. Blazing fire for their own destruction. So also these creatures hurriedly rush into your mouth for destruction. So what creatures? This Dhritarashtra's sons and, you know, those heads are getting crushed in the powder and all that kind of thing is happening. So we'll read 30, verse 30, and then we'll stop, because then he'll ask Bhagwan to come back to his original form. Leliha segra samana samantat lokan samagran vadanaijjvalan jvalanvihi. No. Leliha segra samana samantat lokan samagran vadanaijjvalanvihi तेजो भिरापूर्य जगत समग्रम भासस्त्वो ग्रा प्रतपन्ति विष्णु डिवोरिंग ऑल वर्ल्ड ऑन एवरी साइड विथ योर फ्लेमिंग माउथ्स यू आर लिकिंग इन एंजॉयमेंट दैट्स व्हाई इट्स अतिउग्र लाइक हू Can you imagine like people entering your mind and you're in, but that's how he is. Like Narsingha Avatar was like that, right? Your fierce rays filling the whole world with radiance are burning, O Vishnu. This is sort of a conclusion of this part of the various form, understandings that he has, starting from the mild form, the Devarupa, the sweet form, where he sees the forms. And then he sees the formless. And then he says, but I understand that you are that Akshara. So there is that realization. And then it goes into this Ugra Rupa. And then there is even a more terrible description of the end of the war. Because the end of the war was very terrible. You know, as you know, how many people died in that war, right? Even the Pandava's sons died, right? All of the sons died. Only Parikshit, the grandson, was left. All the children of everybody's child died. Bhima's child, everybody's child died, right? Even there. So this is where we'll stop for today and we'll go into it next time from 31. Are there any questions? I told you this is going to go really fast now. It has 55 verses. It feels like long. That's why in a Yajna setting, I have never heard this chapter being done by anybody. In a Yajna setting, they don't do this. But we do it because we are studying the entire Gita. Yes, any questions?
I just want a clarification. So if we apply this to what we see in the world, all the wars that is happening, all the destruction, all that is it a part of this Vishwarupa that is going on?
Very good. Very good. Excellent. You must understand that everything is happening in consciousness, right? And behind this, see, God is the concept of God or the Supreme Reality. Supreme Reality is not only behind the good. It is also behind the bad. Because even bad cannot happen without the presence of the Supreme Reality. Okay? So what we should do, see, now, at least right now, my God, now the latest is the virus, right? That coronavirus. Fires are going on in Sydney. War is going somewhere or the other. There is war going on, right? So at our level, we should understand as a seeker, I understand that one thing is if even a blade of grass doesn't move without the Lord's sanction, do you think those fires can blaze without the sanction of the Lord? In Sydney, whatever is happening is because, see, even in BC 2 years ago when there were fires, and what it is apparently the forest fires, they have to happen because the fire has to get destroyed. Because unless there is destruction, there cannot be new generation. So, and nature, this is how nature takes, when the population is increasing so much, there'll be some sort of a natural disaster which will control that population. So we don't see the big picture, okay? As seekers, we know that there is a big picture. There are people who do not know that there is a big picture. They are only caught up in the virus or the fire or the war. They're only caught up in that incident which is happening. Oh, this is Ghor Kali Yuga and this is what is happening and that is what is happening. But as seekers, we must understand that this is happening and it does have the sanction of the Lord because nothing can happen without his sanction. Now, at my level, how can I help? How can I help? So if in Alberta, you know, then Red Cross had sent us, Alberta had fires last year, right? Last year, then Red Cross sent all of us, you know, saying that for Alberta fires, can you contribute? Okay, now at my level, that's all I could do. Because I'm not a doctor or a nurse. Like, see, some people, now from Alberta, there are firefighters who have gone to Sydney. You know, do you know that there are Alberta firefighters have gone there? And if I'm not mistaken, one plane which was made in Vernon, BC crashed in the fire, and three firemen died in that crash. And those firemen were from US, my friend said. But I also heard that there was somebody from Alberta who was killed there, which may not be true, but this is how my memories of the news, that somebody from here went there to save and they themselves were killed. Okay, so what can I do at this? And I can always pray. Two things are in my hands. I can always pray for the entire world. Therefore, sarve bhavantu sukhinaha or om trembakam. That's why these prayers are there. For the atonement. Prayers are meant for atonement of whatever bad that we have done in the past. Please remember, people think that prayers means I will pray and the Lord will give me. It is not like that. Because the Lord cannot give you a result which you have not worked for. If you have worked in the past for that result, the Lord can give you. If you have not worked only suddenly, just today you're praying, Lord cannot give you like that. So the prayers are actually meant for atonement of past karmas. And because sorrow comes because of past bad karmas, so prayer is an atonement of that. It's a prayaschit karma. So therefore we should pray, even if I don't want anything. Actually, we should not want anything. We should have the faith that God knows what I need and He will give it to me. So that is why we should pray. So in this case of these disasters, it's a very relevant and a very good point that you've made. Understand it to be in that Virat Roop, all this is happening. Okay. So I can pray to the Lord. I can help. If in any way I can help, then I help. Otherwise, pray. I may not be able to help in any way. That is also possible. But praying to I can do, na? Praying to I can do. That nobody can stop me. So we do that. But understand, there is no point. And in Kali Yuga, this has been said in our scriptures, that in Kali Yuga, Adharma is going to go on the rise. And when it reaches a certain point, we are in the first quarter of Kali Yuga. In the last quarter of Kali Yuga, Kalki will come. Bhagwan will come as Kalki, the avatar, and he will then take this into the next Yuga. There will be Pralaya now. We are in the fourth Yuga. There will be Pralaya after this. But there's a long time. There's a long, long time for it to come still. So, and Adharma is going to go on the rise. It has to. If Bhagwan has to come, it has to be like that. See, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, same thing. He did not allow any Vishnu temple. Nobody had to pray to Vishnu. Everybody had to pray to him. It came to a stage. Like that, it will come now. At least right now, see, we are doing spiritual discourses. Temples are being built left, right, and center. We are not being stopped. We have not come to that stage. People don't realize how much good the temples are doing, right? Satsang we are having. We are having course in Sandipani. We are not being stopped. We are not being threatened. Don't do, you can't do this. That is what was happening in the time of... That's why in Rama, why Ram and Lakshman were taken? Because those yajnas, he was not allowing them to do those things. But we are not at that stage as yet. That's when Bhagwan came, na? That's when he came, that nobody could do any yajna, then they'll come and throw bones in there and they'll put some obstacles, right? That is not happening as yet. As yet, it is not happening. It is not happening. We can have, if I want to have puja at home, if I want to have puja in the temple, nobody's stopping. We're building temples in the Western world. How many temples are there now? We have numerous gurudwaras. Doesn't matter. It may be a gurudwara. It is a house of God. So many we have. So that's how it should be our vision. As a seeker.
Thank you.
Okay. Question is answered. Your question is answered.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll meet next week. We'll start with verse 31. We have 55. So I don't know. We may finish next week or the week after. For sure, we'll be completing this chapter. And as far as my memory goes, we are going into chapter 12 right away, right? Because 10, 11, 12 was what was told to me. So after this, we'll be going to chapter 12, which is Ahaha. Beautiful chapter. Bhakti, just short, 20 verses, but a lot of philosophy. There, every verse will have an explanation. Not this. Okay. All right.